Hi, everybody. My name is Juanita, member of Al-Anon, and the person I'm going to introduce, who is Germaine, I had heard her story many times, and it was always very, very powerful. And I had the opportunity a couple of years ago when I spoke in Rapid City for a conference to meet her and to go to an actual face-to-face meeting. We actually, for those of you who don't know, we actually used to have actual face-to-face meetings at some point before the middle of March this year. You know, we actually got to see each other and hold hands and hug. And I had that opportunity to meet Germaine a couple of years ago. And I think she is a very special person. And her husband was still alive at that day, and I had the opportunity to meet him as well. And Germaine has over 40 years in Al-Anon, and she has a powerful message, and I think you all will really enjoy her. So please welcome my friend Germaine.
Germaine, can you unmute yourself, please? You should have that possibility.
Okay. Hi, my name is Germaine, and I'm a very grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon Family Groups. And I'm so grateful, I'm so happy to have met Juanita and Tom a couple years ago, and they did, you know, get a chance to come to our meeting. We weren't, for some reason, we were really, I can't remember what the weather was bad or whatever, we didn't have a lot of people, but they were there for a conference, and we had a lot of people there. I've actually been in Al-Anon for now, I'm getting old, 43 years now, so the time just flies by, I'll tell you. I had the opportunity to speak a few weeks ago at one of the conferences, and I thought to myself, you know, how do I put into 1 hour, you know, the years of experience that I've had in Al-Anon, because it's all been good. And I'm so grateful to be able to give an opportunity to talk to generational healing. You know, I am actually been using the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in Al-Anon since early recovery, since 1978. So I really, really enjoyed Don's talk when he related to the Native American way, because I was always a Christian. I was Catholic. I went to Catholic school, born and raised, and I grew up in Rapid City, which is not on the reservation. But my sister also was a member of AA, and she came in 2 weeks before I came into Al-Anon, and she practiced the Lakota way. In her sobriety, she had met up with people that were really into the culture, and so she became a Sundancer, and I also got a chance to participate for many, many years with her in Sundances and ceremonies and sweats and whatever. But then my husband, he passed away last September, and I miss him terribly, but he was also a Sundancer, and he Sundanced. He grew up on the reservation, and he also practiced a Native American culture for 24 years. He was a Sundancer, so I was given the opportunity to learn a little bit more about my culture. But just like Don said, to me, this program has helped enhance not only the culture, but also my religion. And this is a way of life, just like he said. And as far as generational healing, what I thought I would do when I talked to Juanita, she said either I could do a workshop or I could just do some speaking. Well, what I thought I would do, you know, is because I like participation a little bit, I thought maybe right now I would have a couple people talk about their experiences and what they're wanting to heal, or what their experiences even in healing. And then maybe in the last 15 minutes, we can kind of go over my experience and how the solutions that I found to help me overcome the difficulties that I've encountered through my life. So I would like to take questions if that's okay with you.
Okay with us. I will put a minute on the timer because there will probably be some hands in the air. So if you guys can honor that, that would be great. Elena, you still have your hand in the air. I'm going to start with you. I don't know if this is something you wanted to do, but I see your hand and I don't really want to leave you out. So can you unmute yourself?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I was trying to relate everything all together, and my question was, like, where can I start over, like, with the with my relapse? I am trying to explain, because I do have a white sponsor, and this is kind of hard to explain her about culture?
That's a good question. I think, Don, could you answer that quickly if you're there? Can you take 2 minutes and give her an answer, please? Do you mind, Jermaine?
Sure.
Don C., you have to unmute yourself. Is Don there? I can't see you, Don, but you are muted. Get out of this. Okay, when we get Don, Don is not here. Elena, stay tuned. I will get to Don at the end of this session, okay?
All right, thank you.
Crystal.
Thank you. If my understanding is correct, I think the question is generational trauma. I come from at least a third generation of mothers, women without mothers, and I think that has and also addiction issues, and I think that has a lot to do with a deep trauma that has happened in my family, and that's something that I'm trying to heal is the trauma of abuse and lack of love and obviously the disease. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, do you want me to answer that now?
However you would like to do this.
Okay. Crystal, you know, one of the things that I had to learn when I came to Al-Anon, you know, I grew up in alcoholism too. Probably, I don't know whether it would be third or second generation for sure, because I'm almost certain my grandfather was also suffered from the disease of alcoholism. But my father also suffered from that disease, along as many uncles and cousins and siblings that I had grown up with. And then I'd also suffered sexual abuse and physical abuse, and I was a battered wife when I came to Al-Anon. But what I learned when I got here was that I came to Al-Anon because I needed help. You know, and I needed to overcome the difficulties of all the different things that happened to me. I didn't come to get an alcoholic sober. I didn't come to change another person. I came because I wasn't okay. You know, and so I had to admit, like we were talking about it, I think in the last meeting, we talked about surrender. You know, and I had to surrender to the fact that I couldn't change the things that happened to me, and I couldn't overcome the things that happened to me. I did have to identify in step one the things that I was powerless over, you know, and I had those powerless over that self-pity, that fear, that anxiety, the feeling of being trapped, depression, loneliness, despair, you know, and anger. I was filled with anger because I was mad at the person that had molested me. I was mad at my parents because my mom told me never tell anybody, and that was kind of the thinking in those days. But I had to come to Al-Anon because I needed help, and I had to surrender the same as I had gone to many, many open AA meetings, and I had loved going there because my sister also was an alcoholic, and she went to AA 2 weeks before I came to Al-Anon. And so I went to many open AA meetings, and I listened, and I heard them say how they could help alcoholics stay sober. And I knew how hard it was for them to have for alcoholics to stay so sober. And also in that big book, it talked about this is, we're sure this book has its advantages for all. And I knew that was me. And I knew if I followed the 12 steps exactly the way they were written. And I did have a sponsor who was also white. As a matter of fact, in our group, I don't even think there's any Native Americans in our group. There's some that I have sponsored, and some of them come and go, you know, but at this point in time, I don't have anybody that has the longevity that I have that has been able to sponsor me. But I've talked to, and I've been in communication with so many people that are involved in the culture. But the thing that I needed to come to Al-Anon about was to learn how to overcome me and overcome the anger and the bitterness and the feelings of being unloved, uncared about, and all those different things. But I used exactly the steps the way they are written. And step one, I realized that because I couldn't overcome all those difficulties that's what made my life unmanageable. And I needed to surrender to that fact that my life was unmanageable. And then also I lacked the power to change anything. And that's the real key for me about everything. In the big book, it talks about either God's everything or he's nothing. He either is or he isn't. And that's, it says, what is my choice to be? And I needed to make that choice that God was everything, or my creator was everything, however we wanted to, gosh, whoever we identify as a power greater than selves. I had to realize that I couldn't change me. I couldn't make myself happy. I couldn't make myself get over the depression, the despair, the anger, the loneliness, the feeling of being trapped. I needed a power greater than me to help me to do that. You know, so and then in the step three, I made that decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. But also there's something in that third step that helped me more than anything. And it said that my troubles were of my own making. And when it points to me that my troubles are own making, it made me realize, in Al-Anon it says that we learn to find peace and contentment whether the alcoholic is drinking or not. And how do we do that? By focusing on ourselves and learning how to learn how not to react to the things outside of me. And those are the things that caused me problems. I wanted other people to love me, but I didn't have a thought about how I loved others. And one of the things as time went on, you know, and I went on into the steps, and I'm not going to go through all the steps, but I'm going to say that these steps, in every single one, I know Don just went to them so great in the last, as far as the culture is concerned, but in the same idea and the principles are the same, that I needed to look at me and change me. And the only way I could do that is by practicing those 12 steps and making that a way of life. And I know he talked about commitment, and I needed to have that commitment. And I think nobody's going to get well if they're not committed to doing whatever they need in order to get better. And it's not a self-help program. It's not a treatment organ. It's not a counseling program. It's a spiritual program where we learn how to let a higher power help us overcome whatever difficulty we have. And as I continued, I did the fourth, fifth, sixth, and made me think of how, you know, I loved how he described the fourth and fifth step. But to me, the fourth and fifth step, I like the way he talked about how we need to look at that. But for me, he talked about it being a lie about the truth. But for myself, I think that those were the tools that I needed to see the patterns of my behavior. I've been taught many great principles by my parents, but I wasn't able to live up to those principles in a lot of different ways. So I had to see what my will and my life were that I was willing to turn over to the care of God. And the fourth step helped me to see that. And my fifth step, talking to another human being, you know, admitting to God, to myself and another human being, make me have humility. I had to accept the fact that I could do things that I didn't want to do. I could do things that I judge other people on doing. I could be the person that I didn't want to be, you know, but I needed help and I needed to understand. And those fourth and fifth step gave me those tools, you know, so that in step six, when I identified that and became entirely willing to have God remove the defects of character, that's where I'd be willing to admit. And that's what I liked, where Don made those tobacco ties and talked about putting those tobacco ties. Those were identification of those defects that I was willing to let go of. And then when I put them in the fire and let them go, that's in step seven, where I humbly asked him to remove my shortcomings. You know, and to me, when I give guilt and shame and anger and bitterness and whatever defect that might cause me problems, when I actually let them burn up, in a sense, if I really give them to God and let them go, then what do I have left? You know, what I have left are the good stuff. You know, if I let go of the things that are blocking me from being the person that God wants me to be, if I let go of those defects of character, if I let go of what another person's alcoholism has nothing to do with me. You know, this program is a program based on love, and how do I learn how to love people unconditionally? And that's what I had to learn how to do. And I couldn't do that unless I had to let me die. You know, and that's the whole thing about it, is fourth and fifth and sixth and seven helped me to identify the things in me that I needed to let God to remove from me. You know, those were the things that were causing me problems. Those are the things that made my troubles my own making. Those are the tools I needed. And eight, where it says that, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends. I said I wasn't going through steps, but I am. The thing that I thought about is eight. It says it talks about personal relationships. You know, and that's really what, you know, we come here in Al-Anon because we can't deal with people. You know, and that step helped me to see how I harm people, not how they harm me, but how do I harm people? Because I can't change other people. I can only change me. And I really needed to see, I think there's so much that is learned in step eight that sometimes it's not just making a list. It's also identifying how I can harm people and how, you know, I am. And that gives me another tool. You know, every time I learn more about myself, we learn about self-honesty, and I have to be honest with myself if I want to change, because I can't change something I don't know I have. you know, and that, you know, and there's nothing good nor bad, nor just, there's no judgment around me doing these steps. These are the things I need to identify within me, the things that need to be changed, you know. So when I let God change me, and by letting God remove my defects of character, by making the list, and I'll tell you something, when I do step 9, when I go out and make amends to people, that's something I didn't want to do. Why? Because I was scared, because I needed to be humbled. You know, I needed to be humbled. And to me, I couldn't do an amend unless I really relied on God, to be honest, to be loving, to be kind. And to me, when I made those amends, when I went out, when it says made direct amends to such people wherever possible, my sponsor used to tell me, Jermaine, making amends is knocking on the door. You know, she never gave me a way to not do them. And I'm so grateful that she was that way with me. I needed a heart sponsor. I needed somebody that could help me, not give me any excuses or way to justify my actions. So when I went out and made those amends, when I had to be humbled and I had to admit that I wasn't perfect, I had to admit that I caused harm to other people, and I had to even people that I didn't really like. I had to be honest. I had to go. And what did that give me? That gave me freedom. Oh my gosh, I love the 12 steps of this program, because what this program gives me, freedom. You know, and when I get free, there's no generational healing, that it's done, because I'm willing to let go of the fact that I expected other people to love me and I didn't know how to love others. You know, they were sick the way I was sick. And in the big book, it talks about God save me from being angry. You know, how can I help this person? This person may be spiritually sick. Well, that's exactly what I had to learn, that other people did exactly what they did because that's what they knew. You know, and I only did what I knew when I didn't know how to do things better. So people only do what they know. You know, and if I learn how to respect people, I know how to live in a way, the Lakota way, which is a respect, you know, honesty and humbleness. I need to let people be who they are. And that really goes hand in hand with live and let live. You know, and that's what I needed to learn how to do. Find peace and contentment, whether the alcoholic is drinking or not, has something to do with love. And I couldn't love on my own. I needed the help of a higher power. You know, and that's how I stay close to my higher power. In 10, 11, and 12, I need to continue to take personal inventory, because I'm not a perfect human being. You know, I'm always make mistakes, but I want to learn from those mistakes. And people always talk about beating myself up. I hate beating myself up. Why? Because it's an ego problem, right? I think I'm better than I am. I should have done this. I shouldn't have done that. You know, oh my God, I did this. I did that. You know, it takes my whole day worried about what I should have done differently. Well, heavens, don't do worry about doing things differently and do them differently. You know, that gives me another tool. I'm not perfect and I don't always do things right and I may make mistakes, but that's a tool. And maybe I'm reacting stronger than I should react. Well, maybe there's some more four-step work that I needed to do. Maybe there's more inventory that I need to be doing. When I make mistakes, those are tools, you know, and I need to look at it that way. And, you know, and 11, of course, is just absolutely a must. And I love what Don said about rising early in the morning. I've never done that, but I need to do that. I really like that, where he said there was an opening, you know, for us to our prayer. But I know I never start any day without prayer. That's the first thing I do. That's the whole purpose of this program, to help me find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problems, right? And that's what this program has given me, is a way of life and a higher power. And so I have to continue to deepen that reliance on God, so that in step 12, I have a message to carry. You know, I have a message to carry to all the people that have suffered the same way I've suffered. And if they would be willing and they're as committed to recovery the way that I was, and when you really, and I think Don said it, talked about it being a life and death. We may not have a drinking problem. I did not have a drinking problem. I didn't have a drug problem. I had a me problem. You know, I didn't know how not to react to the alcoholic. I didn't know how to react to other people. I didn't know how to not to react to things outside of me. I thought I had to be perfect. And I wanted other people to love me. I didn't know that I didn't know how to love others.
Jermaine, somehow you got muted.
I'm muted. Am I muted now? Am I open?
You're good.
Oh, good. Okay. Anyway, I could go on and on, but I love this program because it is my way of life and it gives me every tool I need. If I'm having generational problems and I'm worried about because my dad was an alcoholic or my uncle was an alcoholic or my grandfather was an alcoholic or my mother was an alcoholic, my sibling, I need to know that alcoholism is a disease. And when I accept that it's a disease that I don't have, but that it is a disease that I didn't cause, I can't control and I can't cure, I need to put that focus on me and learn how to live my life as a way of life, to learn how to love all people. You know, and that's a tall order, but that was the order that I was given by my sponsor many, many years ago, 43 years ago. She said, Jermaine, you have no choice but to love all people. And I thought, oh, what an order. But you know what? I can't love all people, but with the help of a higher power and me being willing to take the action to clean house, you know, to get free of the things in me that block me from letting God work in my life. And I'm free to take the action to let God remove my character defects. And I will continue to maintain that recovery on a daily basis. I will be able to be the person that God wants me to be, and I will be free. And to me, that's the whole crux of this program, is learning how to be free, to love others, to live in the world, to be of maximum service to God and the people about me. You know, and that's the whole crux of my program. And I'm so grateful to be here. I thank you. I didn't get a lot of people ask questions, but I get so excited about the freedom that this program has given me and the gratitude I have for the life that I have today, that, you know, I could go on and on, but I've been here for a long time. So thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to share.
Well, Jermaine, I've still got a hand up, so hold on.
Okay. I'm happy to answer anybody's questions.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
My name's Nakaya. I'm from Denver, Colorado. I'm named after Carlos Nakai of the Kiowa tribe. And I just really wanted to ask you real quick. I know on my father's side, you know, we're full-blooded Indians and everything like that. And alcoholism has run in the family very deep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my father has suffered extreme, terrible sexual abuse. And a lot like both my mother and my stepmother believe that somehow that has transferred over to his kids' problems, because we all have our own issues as well. But I just went to my first ceremony 2 days ago, which was amazing. And I'm on a journey of healing, and I keep having these dreams about past relationships and just so much pain that's involved with those, and especially love. I've realized that I may have, you know, an addiction to love and stuff like that. And so I was just wondering, how do you heal from relationships and past pains dealt by, you know, people that you've loved the most?
That's a good question. And I'll tell you something. I'm so grateful that I've been able to recover from that, but it took me a long time. That was one of the hardest things I've been able to recover from, was the sexual abuse. You know, but I understand. This is one thing that my sponsor told me many, many years ago. Well, I had so much anger because I was so angry at the people that, you know, caused the abuse to me. And I didn't realize how it filled me with anger, but I did. So I did many, many inventories over and over again. But when I got to step 9, when I had to make amends, my sponsor told me very clearly, and it stayed with me for a long time, and it took me a long time to actually understand it and be able to apply it. But she said to me, give back to what happened to you to the people it belongs to, and it doesn't belong with you. You know, that's the thing that I know. When I had to give back the responsibility of what happened to me was not my fault. I was 8 years old when I first molested, you know, and so I had to give back to the people that were responsible to care for me, and it wasn't me. Once I did that start giving me freedom. I was not responsible for the sexual abuse that happened to me. It was the people, my parents were responsible for me. My mother, it took me a long while to get mad at my mother. I did understand the anger, but then as I did the inventories and realized my mother also was affected by that sexual abuse, did I able to forgive? It was a long time. It took a long time. But when I gave back the responsibility for what happened to me to where it belonged, it didn't belong with me anymore. That gave me freedom. I could move my life. It was not my fault. I let go of guilt. I let go of low self-esteem. I let go of anger. I let go of fear. Because I read many times that you could become a molester if you've been molested. Well, that wasn't not anything that I ever wanted to do or happened to me. You know, so I prayed all the time and I did those inventories. If I wasn't free of it, I did it again, over and over again till I can get rid of the garbage. And like Don talked about chicken poop. It was really chicken poop because I did what didn't belong with me. I didn't do it. You know, it didn't mean that I didn't suffer a lot afterwards. And I was involved in relationships that weren't good. I had to learn how to let go of that. I had to learn how to understand that that was part of the result of me getting molested. You know, so I had to get, once I gave back the responsibility that happened to me to where it belonged, and it wasn't me, was I able to go on with my life. So I hope that helps you a little bit.
That does. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you, Nakai. Mary R.
Hello, my name is Mary Ray, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mary.
And, yeah, listening, you know, I've heard such wonderful things today, and really the things that have been my heart has needed. But when we're talking about abuse, I've been sober many, many, many years. And like about 150, I think. Anyway, I have to share that the abuse I suffered and my sister suffered, I have not wasted my time in later years trying to forgive anyone for it. I have learned to redouble my efforts in working with others and helping others. There are some things I would imagine some men, but many women have been told in the program and out of the program, as women, you must forgive. I do not put words into something that I cannot do or have not been able to do. I don't want to do. There are certain things that we are not privy to, and that is left to the power, our great spirit, a power greater than ourselves. So what I have done is I have been able to reach out and be of help to women and some men who have gone through some of the abuse I have. And I always suggest forgive where you can, and where you find you cannot, move on and help someone else. But thank you all. I needed this medicine today. It has calmed my heart a bit.
Thank you. Good having you here. Is there anybody else who would like to ask a question or share with us? If not, let's thank Jermaine. Unmute yourself. Yeah, just unmute the dang thing.
Thank you, Jermaine.
Really
powerful.
Thank you, Jermaine.
I relate. I can definitely relate to the abuse. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Recovery.
Thank you, Jermaine. That was very powerful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very inspiring.
I haven't got my picture up. Thank you. It's Liz from Galaxy 40. That was very helpful to me, too. Thanks.
Thank you. That was very helpful for me. In London. I'm not in London anymore. Kent, England.
Thank you all. Thank you.